Forest Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. How are we today? Thumbs down from Ben Lee. Wow. I hope we can turn that thumbs down, upside down, right side up over the next 3 hours. Cody McClure.
Doing well, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. On a Wednesday morning, afternoon, may the world be kind to you and may your own thoughts be gentle upon yourself as we get started here on this fine Wednesday.
Well, what was that last part there?
May the world be kind to you and may your own thoughts be gentle upon yourself. That's today's inspiration, as you will no doubt see here on the whiteboard.
Okay.
Just a nice quote I found today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Use a little inspiration, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a little. Get the day started, you know. So, it's good to be here. I had a good night. Did you have a good night?
Night was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do anything exciting?
No.
No?
No, I watched some Hawks Summer League basketball, and then I watched the All-Star game. Pretty much it.
A nice, peaceful evening.
Yes. Summer League basketball and MLB All-Star game.
Yeah.
Perfect little evening.
That sounds like a pretty good time.
Mixed up a little WWE SmackDown.
Oh, SmackDown, huh?
Yeah.
That's back on Tuesday nights now?
Mm-hmm.
They've tried it, I guess, about every night of the week besides Monday.
I don't think they've ever done Wednesdays.
So just Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Yeah.
I remember when it was Friday night SmackDown, and I did not care for it because I had other things I was trying to do on Friday night.
Well, that's what's going to be weird is they're going back to Fridays.
Really?
Yeah, whenever they launch with Fox in the fall. Fox is like, hey, the best thing on TV we can do is live entertainment, right? Like, if you look at the landscape, people like their NBA, their NFL, their MLB, like live sports have survived the cord-cutting era. For the most part, they thrive. Like, yeah, overall TV's down, but sports is getting a bigger percentage of people, of available people. So I guess Fox is like, hey, let's try it with wrestling. People are like, yeah, right? I think it's going to be a disaster putting them on Friday, although we'll see. But yeah, that was my evening.
Well, good.
Yeah. I'm a little terrified to ask you what you think the biggest story of the day today is. Do you have anything?
Well, Serena and Andy Murray were knocked out of the mixed doubles yesterday afternoon. Remember that game we were watching? Well, they lost.
No, they won that one. They lost today.
Well, they lost.
Yeah.
Now.
They lost this morning.
Yeah.
They won the one we were watching, though.
Oh. Well, they were knocked out of mixed doubles.
Okay.
So. That was really the whole point.
She's down to the semifinals. She probably would like to rest a little bit before her, you know, trying to go out and get another Grand Slam.
Yeah, I don't know what the story of the day is. I don't really have one.
Okay. I mean,
that was just the first headline I saw.
All right. Well, there you go. You have one less headline now, I guess, for hour two. But
yeah, it's going to be tough.
I mean, as far as the big stories of the day go, like I said, the MLB All-Star game was last night. It was rather entertaining, fairly entertaining, I guess. It was fun.
Was Justin Bieber there?
Not that I know of. Shane Bieber was there. He won MVP somehow.
Ah, That's what I saw.
Yeah, yeah. He
I
won
just
it.
Saw a headline that Bieber, late addition to All-Star roster, wins MVP.
It's weird. I don't know really how he won it, but he did. He only pitched one inning. I mean,
yeah.
Struck out the side. I mean, it was more of an inspirational MVP give, I guess, because like he was the hometown guy and a late ad and someone who, you know, never expected to be an All-Star. So it was good for him, I guess. I'd be mad if I bet on All-Star Game MVP and they gave it to some guy who just, you know, it's kind of a novelty give. But at the same time, if I was betting on All-Star Game MVP, I might have bigger problems to worry about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You probably have a bit of a problem. If so is Shane Bieber, is he related to Justin? Because
I'm going
to
guess he's not. I feel like we would have heard of that by now if Justin Bieber had a brother playing in baseball.
I've never heard a name. I've never heard the name Bieber other than outside of Justin. So I feel like it's a pretty rare name.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of people are named Bieber. Perhaps it's Canadian. So maybe they're not related, you know, like cousins or anything, but they're just both Canadian.
I don't know where Shane Bieber hails from. I don't know if he's Canadian or what.
I'm going to guess he's Canadian. Or if he's not from there, he's got some Canadian roots. Shane Bieber. Yep, he's from Orange, California.
You thought you had something there, huh?
Not Canada, yeah.
Did you see the CA or something?
I saw the CA and I was like, yeah, Orange. No, that's Orange, California. That's a good ways from Canada.
Ah, speaking of which, sort of, loosely, I guess. I got a big story for you coming up later in the show about your West Coast trip next month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Something happening on the dates that I'm going?
I don't know the exact dates. I just know it's next.
Earthquake.
I don't know about the dates. I know it's next month. So, like, maybe. I don't know the exact dates yet, so maybe.
I'm really kind of pulling for an earthquake when I go out there.
Okay.
I never have been a part of one. I've never experienced one, never felt one. I'm hoping for like a 8.1 or something.
8.1 feels a little too strong.
Well, they just had a 7.1 and nobody died, right? I think everybody made it through okay.
Yeah, I had a friend that was in Las Vegas when it happened, and he said his hotel was swaying, though.
Wow.
I can imagine a whole nother point on the old Richter scale will do some damage, though.
I'm looking for something to really rattle me. Really kind of make me question going to California, you know what I mean? It's like, whoa, look at the power of this state. You never know when you're going to get in the middle of an earthquake.
Tectonic plates and all that.
Just shift around a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe have a lamp fall on my head.
If you want, later in the show when you're not expecting it, I'll come behind you and start shaking your chair. I'll pretend like I'm getting up to go to the bathroom or something. And
yeah.
Just grab your chair and start shaking it and give you a kind of a simulation.
Okay.
Maybe throw some things at your head to signify things falling off of, like, you know, shelves and stuff.
I'm just kind of looking for a bit of a preview, you know, what it would be like to be in an earthquake.
I'll shake you and throw things at your head.
I think it would be a lot of fun, personally.
I've been doing some digging, and Shane Bieber is not related to Justin Bieber, but he does embrace the last name as a joke.
I mean, you kind of have to.
Like, apparently he wore a jersey one day that said Not Justin on the back instead of just okay. Bieber.
Well, congratulations to Not Justin Bieber for winning All-Star Game MVP last night.
It would suck to have that as your last name.
I don't think so.
You could never be the most famous person.
I think you lean into it when you go to the bar. You tell people you're related to him.
But you could never be the most famous Bieber.
You got to make your walkout song one of his, like Baby or something.
It's like if your last name is Trump or Winfrey. Or something like that. You can never be the most famous person with that name.
You can reap the benefits from it, though. Just tell people you're related to Justin. Because they'll be like, you. Oh, wow. Maybe he is. I've never heard of anybody else named Bieber. Checks out to me.
Yeah, Justin's actually my uncle.
Cousin.
Cousin.
Brother, maybe.
Cousin. It could be one of those weird deals where you've got, you know, there's like a sister and she's not that much older. She marries a guy that's way younger than her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like if my sister were to marry a 20-year-old guy. He would be my uncle. It would be weird to call him uncle, but he would be.
Your sister's husband is your brother-in-law.
If I had an aunt That's a very good point by you. If I had an aunt who married a, you know, a like a 20-year-old guy, mm-hmm. that's what I meant, obviously. I know that my sister's husband is my brother-in-law. I trailed off a bit. But yeah, if I had an aunt and she married a 20-year-old guy, wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah, I guess.
You'd have to call him uncle.
I mean, there are a lot of people who have uncles and aunts that are actually younger than them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot younger than them.
Yeah. It's not that...
it's not that uncommon.
It's not that crazy.
It's weird, but it's not that uncommon. Maybe it's just weird to me because, you know, all my uncles were...
It's weird.
A lot older than me.
It's weird. Unless you had like a... You know, there's another scenario where you have a parent who has a lot of siblings, and they have, like, a really, really younger sibling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe my mom is, like, 18 when she has me, but my mom had, like, a 3-year-old sister at the time. You know what I mean? So my aunt is only 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
Quite frequently as well.
Any other family tree things you want to dive into?
No. No, I don't think so.
Not any huge stories going on right now in sports, but we do have a lot of smaller, interesting ones. We'll talk about them throughout the day. We'll have some discussion. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, like I said, a lot of small stories. We got a update, a good update for a Tennessee player in the NBA. Well, we got an SEC team making announcements on alcohol. We got your story about California or your West Coast trip. I'd rather save that one till a little bit later in the show. Got a pretty big, I guess, moment in college athletics. Where would you like to go?
Is the California trip story, is that going to be a bad thing or a good thing?
No, it's a good thing. It's just a little early in the show. We got to come out strong out of the
you
gate.
You want to keep teasing it.
Well, no, not necessarily that. It's not anything really to tease. It's just lunch hour, a lot of people in the car right now. I got to come out strong, probably more for a late. We've exhausted our sports conversations. It's time to talk about something else type of thing.
Yeah. We always roll out of the gate strong anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So where would you like to go?
Well, I guess tell me about the Vol in the NBA, because I think I know where you're going with that.
Okay, where do you think I'm going with that?
Grant Williams getting the start for Boston yesterday.
Not so much that. I mean, it's summer league. First round pick should be getting the start. Like, mm-hmm. Grant Williams is obviously a big part of their plans, right? Like, I mean, him starting in a summer league game, him performing well in a summer league game doesn't tell me anything. If anything, it should be like, hey, idiots, just because somebody shot bad at the combine for 2 days shouldn't have made everyone freak out and start projecting him to the second round. Like, you knew what type of player he was.
Right.
Right, I mean, like, everyone knew Grant was really smart and really good at team basketball. Like, if you watched 1 second of him play at Tennessee, you saw somebody who didn't need the ball in his hands to be successful, someone who could play team defense, someone who could make all the passes and make all the right reads. So I thought it was a little ridiculous that so many analysts and, I don't know, maybe GMs were telling them this, but I thought it was really dumb that so many people had Grant Williams falling to the second round, built off of, you know, basically two bad days of shooting and playing a glorified version of pickup basketball. I mean, that's what the 5-on-5 version of the combine is. It's just pickup basketball. Like, you don't get together and have game plans. You don't run any type of system. It's guys trying to go out there and get paid. Now, the summer league is a little bit like that. I do find that an interesting, you know, dichotomy when you're watching these summer league games. And like I said, I've watched a lot of them, actually, in the evenings. And you stop and think, and like, man, all 10 of these guys on the court, let's say there's a couple first-round picks out there, maybe a couple second-round picks who are in the future. But for the most part, 80% of the people on the court are out there trying to prove that they deserve a roster spot. Doesn't really bode well for team play, usually.
That's part of what makes the summer league beautiful.
It is, and it's a part of what makes it sometimes
Not great team basketball?
Not great team basketball. But the Celtics have a lot of young guys there, and they're running their system. And so Grant Williams is playing and being coached by people in the Celtics organization. And, of course, he has thrived because he is a really, really good team basketball player who is going to be successful in the NBA built off of how good he is at basketball and how well he can play as a teammate. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit related to Grant Williams. It's not him getting the start yesterday, but it is the Celtics opening up a roster spot officially for him and maybe a couple other guys as they have waived their first-round pick from 2016, Gershon Yabusele. Like, he was a guy who they had been holding out some hope for, but they officially waived him. Maybe it's more for Carson Edwards, who kind of a thorn in our side. But Carson Edwards has been balling as well in the summer league. So, you know, they'll have a couple guys be able to make the roster. Grant is going to get a lot of playing time.
I just wanted to say good job, by the way, on that, the pronunciation.
I think I nailed it.
I think you did well with that.
Gershon Yabusele. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
I mean, you saying yeah doesn't. I mean, it actually does
it
give me.
It sounds good to me.
It actually does give me a little bit more confidence, but at the same time, I'm like, you don't actually know.
No, but it sounds like the way it should be pronounced.
Sure.
It sounds right. It sounds so right that I doubt anyone's going to look it up and say, no, actually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe some Celtics fans are like, actually, it's not that.
Well, actually.
They're not going to be able to explain it to like me via Celtics text, and we're not going to take their phone call. So, like,
yeah,
you're just screaming into the abyss, buddies.
And, like, Celtics fans can really, you know, criticize anyone for the way that they talk.
And you know what I would say back to them? Well, actually, it should be the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had. Yeah. They had to Americanize it.
Yeah. That's how about that? You want to talk about pronunciations?
How about you go dump it into the harbor? Oh, Pepperidge Farm. Yeah. Stuff my face with Pepperidge Farm. Oh, harder, harder.
What is this?
That's from Ted.
Oh, you in that movie.
Oh, harder, harder.
I think we might be...
It's talking about when Boston people get it on.
I think we might be the show, inexplicably, that references Ted more than any others.
Probably. Probably so.
I don't know if I want that corner for us, to be honest. But I feel like you reference it at least once a week.
My bad. I was sending a tweet.
Or Ted, too. So, like, I mean, some the Ted family...
It's just funny to me when he's talking about they're talking about.
I understand.
You get what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Harder.
I don't need an explanation.
Yeah.
I understand it.
I think it's funny. Ted was funny to me. It's from the guy that created Family Guy.
Seth
MacFarlane.
No, I understand.
Yeah. That's why Ted kind of sounds like Peter Griffin.
I don't need a breakdown of it. I understand. I saw the first one. It was fun.
You liked it?
It was fun. I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it enough to go see the second one, but.
Better than Borat? The second one's just as funny as the first one.
Okay. I think for me, it wasn't so much worried about it wasn't as funny. It was, I've seen enough of a talking bear, like, kind of thing. Like, I get the gist of it. Like, I wanted to see what it would be like, and okay.
The second one really tugs at your heart, because the second one, they basically say Ted's not a person. It's like, what are you talking about, Johnny? I'm not a person? And then he has to go and, like, go up to these courts.
Were they trying to, like, have a – was it trying to – I don't know what the phrase would be here, but was it a metaphor for same-sex marriage is what it sounds like?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I mean, just judging from that, it's what it sounds like. And I don't need my political takes from a talking bear.
They were basically saying that he's just property, even though he has a beating heart and a conscience and all this stuff.
Okay.
So it was kind of, you know – kind of a double-edged thing.
Okay.
But eventually he meets Morgan Freeman, and Morgan Freeman helps him win his freedom. Spoiler alert. It's been nice knowing you, Ted.
Like I said, I feel like we talk about Ted more than any show, and I don't know if it's a corner I want.
I'll take it.
I guess it's a corner we have. So good news for Grant. Grant played good last night, and, you know, like I said, he's going to thrive in the summer league. He's better than most of the, I would say, all these guys in the summer league. There aren't very many first-round picks who play. I take that back. There are a lot of first-round picks who play in the summer league. not all of them get as many minutes. You know what I mean? Like some of those guys, like the Hawks have been really cautious with DeAndre Hunter. And, of course, you saw Zion play half of a game, and then they're cautious with him. RJ Barrett's been playing, though, and he put up another, he's been putting up a lot of shots. Admiral got to shine a little bit last night as the Wizards rested their first-round pick in Rui Hachimura. It allowed Admiral to get a chance to play. Scored 16 points, played okay. I'm not convinced he's going to make this roster, though. I'm not saying he's not going to make it. I think with the way the Wizards are, you don't cut young players, but so far I haven't seen him really show what I thought he would show in terms of just being a really good NBA player. All right, so that's that. There's our NBA updates. I mean, I guess we got Jordan Bone playing today. He'll get another shot. They're being linked to the Russell Westbrook trade. So I don't know if Jordan Bone, if that's good or bad for him. I feel like if they get Russell Westbrook, maybe Jordan Bone's a throw-in in that trade, although they already have a young point guard, so maybe Bone would just be Westbrook's backup, and they'd clear out Reggie Jackson and get him out of the way. And I don't know if he'll be affected by that, but Bone might be a quick casualty, at least, you know, in Detroit. I don't know how that'll work, though. We'll see.
A quick casualty?
I mean, just in Detroit, like moved out of Detroit pretty quickly.
Anytime you mention casualty and Detroit, I get a little bit concerned.
Okay.
So maybe perhaps a different expression would be
okay.
Good.
He might get just moved. He might get relocated.
Like the Ford plant.
Yeah, the factory might get shut up and shut down and sent to the heartland, I guess.
There's
a
lot of analogies you can make with Detroit.
Or Jordan Bone might end up playing over in China and get sent overseas. Something.
Get a like tariff a placed on him.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
Who knows? Where's Cam today?
He's at work.
Oh. I miss Cam.
Okay.
On the days he's not here, I don't know. It's weird. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's kind of like when one of us misses. It's just weird. It doesn't feel like the whole pie is here.
Okay.
I don't think it's that significant.
Well,
and to me, he's not at
corrected.
And to me, he's not at work because he's not here.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just signed 2-year contracts with the Clippers. That was kind of surprising. Or I guess Paul George is already under contract. Let me rephrase that. Kawhi Leonard just signed a 2-year contract.
As opposed to signing a 3-year?
As opposed to signing a 4-year. He signed a 2-year with a option for the 3rd year, which those guys usually don't take the option. They opt out and then get a long-term deal. So I was surprised that they gave him 4 years. It made sense for me. I said that the whole free agency in terms of it makes sense for him to just play for 2 years and then hit free agency again when he is a 10-year veteran can get more money. But it does put more pressure on the Clippers. Like, hey, we got to do something good here in these next 2 years or else both these guys might be gone.
Why would he not re-sign with the Clippers? If things are going well.
If they're going well, he will.
And he becomes a free agent?
Yeah, he'll just be able to get the big money for being 10 years in the league. He'll be able to get a higher contract.
You know, ever since we had that discussion about whether it's better for guys to become hometown guys or shuffle around yesterday, I've thought about that, and I really like it when guys just stay in one place.
I really like it when they shuffle around.
Yeah. I think we're definitely on the opposite side of that. Because, like, it's weird. Like, Kawhi, the Clippers, that's his new team. It's fresh. It's brand new. Hot start. And then all of a sudden, 2 years from now, Kawhi's leaving again.
2 years from now, he'll be re-signing with the Clippers on a Supermax.
Well, I don't know, Ben. I don't know.
I know.
If they don't win an NBA title between now and then, they might have to reshuffle.
I mean, they're going to be winning the Western Conference Finals this year. So
he might have to go join a super team.
They're at least going to be in the finals.
Could have stayed in L.A. He could, you know what I mean? If it doesn't work with the Clippers.
Let's talk some college football next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's talk a little college football. In the SEC, it hasn't happened the way I thought it would in terms of these universities okaying the alcohol in the stadiums. We had another school say, nah, we're good. We're not doing it. You see that today? South Carolina. South Carolina said, we're good. Not going to do it. No changes to our alcohol policy in 2019.
Is it just because they can't get it done in time, the things that need to be done?
Our staff has been studying the logistics of selling alcohol beverages at our venues in anticipation of the SEC policy change. We continue to examine all the issues as it relates to game operations at fan experiences and will not make any decision on whether to sell alcoholic beverages in general seating of our venues until our study is complete. We take pride in providing a quality game day experience. We will be strategic and thoughtful when implementing alcohol sales. So,
I wish I could work for a PR firm and be the guy that releases the PR statements.
I don't think that would be a strength for you.
I think it would be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that's what you want in PR. I don't think you're looking for honesty. You're looking at how to make a lie sound good.
Like if we, let's say I was a PR guy for a baseball team, and one of our fans got hit by a foul ball and got killed or something, and we had to release a statement.
Yeah, give me the spin there.
It really sucks that one of our fans was killed by a foul ball this afternoon. We will not be changing anything with our game day atmosphere, even though this has happened. Our thoughts are regretfully with the family.
Okay.
Perhaps they should find new seats.
I don't feel like that's gonna fly.
I don't know. It's just always the same thing with these statements.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could have easily sold me on, hey, we're sorry, stuff happens, or thoughts and prayers.
Blank happens. Unfortunately, this was one of those moments. Rest in peace, Dan.
Look, guys, every now and then we mess up. Every now and then nature happens.
Sometimes Mother Nature is an evil woman.
Now, I know this doesn't really have anything to do with the weather, but whether or not he's dead is not to be argued. He is.
That's a different kind of weather.
And there's no turning back time.
Like with the alcohol sales. What was that last thing they said? Like, we are working diligently to ensure the wonderful game day experience for our fans. Just be like, we're thinking about selling booze, but I don't know when we're going to be able to do it. We're working on it.
Mother Nature is mean, Father Time is undefeated, and the Grim Reaper comes for us all, you know?
Like, yeah.
Could have been how you finished your PR spin.
Important to remember, you'll all die.
Yeah. Just
like Dan did today.
Hate that it happened at our baseball field, but what can you do?
Yeah.
Could have been anywhere.
Should have just gone to a different game.
Dan was doing what he loved, watching our baseball team.
Should have gone to a football game.
And I'm sure if Dan was, you know, could talk to us now, but he can't because he's dead, he would say, go Tomahawks, or, you know, whatever the name of our team is. Go Tomahawks.
Vols.
Oh, okay. I thought we were at a baseball game, but maybe I guess it was a Vols baseball game.
Yeah, I feel like I would be a PR guy here at the university.
I don't feel like they would hire you here.
They especially would not hire me here.
I don't think you're getting hired here in Knoxville to do that.
No.
No.
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
Maybe at the Smokies or something. They could use some good PR right now.
Mm. The doll just was up a break serving for the set and blew it. 5-5. Wow. And Sam Querrey's got a good serve.
Now, tell everybody how during the break you said you're rooting for Nadal.
Tennis isn't a sport that we go all USA about, is it?
I feel like it should be. I think we got to root for this Querrey guy because he's an American. We're going to root for the Spaniard?
I mean,
is that George R. R. Martin?
Just there being the tennis judge?
I think it is.
He's living a secret life after ruining Game of Thrones for everybody?
No, that guy's a little too thin. Really does kind of look like him, though.
A little bit. I mean, he's chubby with glasses and a beard, so.
And that hat.
Yeah.
That go-to-hell hat.
Yeah.
That's what my granddad always called those hats. The fedoras or whatever. He said that's a go-to-hell hat. I don't know why he called it that, but I always thought it was funny.
Oh, wow. He should have challenged that play. So. South Carolina said they are not selling alcohol. Does that surprise you? I kind of thought these SEC schools might race to the money. But so far, we've had Alabama say, nope, not happening. Georgia, nope, not happening. South Carolina's like, I'm good, not going to do it.
Are they having trouble getting it cleared in their cities? Like with the, you know, you got to go through the beer board and all that?
I don't think that's it. If that's it, I feel like you explained that's it. Like, hey, we can't get this paperwork done in time. And by the way, it's July 10th, so they still have roughly 2 months to get it done.
We'll
call it 7 weeks.
I thought everybody was excited about this. Why are they not?
Well, I think it comes back, Cody, to maybe these universities aren't as thrilled about the prospect of making the normal people more like the people in the suites. And what I mean by that is alcohol is legal there in the premium seating. You can sell stuff there. I would say that's one of the major perks of being a premium seat member, right? Is that you get to buy alcohol.
So you think all the rich people are complaining?
I don't want to say the rich people are complaining, but I wonder how many of the rich people would be like, you know what? Maybe we don't need these seats. We can just sit out there with the normal people and drink our booze.
No, their egos are not going to let them sit out there with the normal people. Because it's the same thing at professional events, right? I mean, you got your box seat people. They're up there being rich and doing their thing anyway. And the regular people in the stands are still drinking Miller Lite.
So you don't think it has anything to do with the classism, potentially?
I don't think so. Does that affect the numbers of rich people in the boxes at professional games?
Well, I mean, you get to sell it all throughout the stadium in professional games.
Well,
I just
sell, like, Michelob and Grey Goose in the box and then sell, like, you know, Natty Light down at the common area.
I don't know. I feel like that's what Georgia was doing, right? Didn't Georgia have a whole separate VIP section that you had to buy? Like you could buy like an alcohol pass. Is that what that was?
It's people that donate $25,000 over 5 years.
That's it. Georgia was like, yeah, we'll give you the right to buy alcohol in our stadium if you'll give us $25,000 for 5 years. Like, we can't really get that influx of $25,000 a pop if we're just opening up to everybody. We'll kind of have to refund these people.
And you have to go to a certain area, and you can't take it back to your seat. You have to just, like, watch, like, in this special drinking area with TVs.
Where people with $25,000 for booze hang out.
Yep.
When you think of it in that, through those lenses, does that maybe change your opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that the rich people, I mean, they're going up there for the status symbol more than anything. I don't think they're going up there for the alcohol.
I think the alcohol is a big part of the status symbol. You sit up there with your wine and your beer, and you look down on the peasants like,
well, you still get to do
they
that.
Would be killing to have a drink like this.
Instead, yeah, but you got your catered buffet.
Instead, they're having to smuggle it through their breasts.
They're just going up there to compare clothing and, you know, have their catered buffet. Yeah, the booze is part of it, but I don't think it's a significant part of why these schools are not doing it.
Okay. So what do you think the reason is?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I gave you at least a theory. Do you have a hypothesis here?
I mean,
because you're trying to knock mine down. You're trying to hate on my hypothesis. Do you have one that you can present, or are you here just to try to put holes in mine?
I don't have one, personally, other than maybe they're having trouble with the local governments. That would be my theory. I mean, these are very conservative areas we're talking about, you know?
Is it the governments then, or is it the fan base? Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's the people in charge are very conservative and want to protect certain things. Maybe. Like, I mean, we are in the Bible Belt. Now, we've yet to hear a no from anybody involved with Tennessee, right?
Yeah, still no word from the Tennessee people.
Wow, big break by Nadal.
Maybe when we figure
6-5 serving for the set.
Maybe we'll know more about it when we hear, like, if Tennessee decides not to do it.
Well, Tennessee's acting like they're trying to do it, right? I mean, we've seen them applying for
saw the permit on the stadium. Yeah.
And we also know Tennessee has been planning to try to do this since the talks of renovation. They were putting things in place to get ready to sell alcohol. I don't know if you saw this, but Tennessee's single game tickets went on sale today.
No, I haven't seen that. Single game tickets are available?
Yeah.
Are they expensive?
What do you consider expensive?
For, like, the Georgia game?
Georgia sold out, but Mississippi State, BYU, those games are still available?
Those games should cost...
Lower level. There's lower level still available. How much do you think those should cost?
$70.
To be considered expensive, or just that's what they should be?
I think that should be their standard price.
I believe it's $60, and then they'll hit you with some taxes and fees, and I think people are saying they're getting out with, you know, paying $80 for them.
Okay. I don't think that's too horrible.
Seems like there's a lot of them available down in the lower deck, too.
I don't think that's that bad.
Okay.
It's not as bad as, you know, $140, $150, some of the numbers people were paying last year for Florida.
Oh, yeah, no.
$200.
Yeah, not at all.
Lower levels were going for a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Mississippi State and BYU games have the potential to be enjoyable.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation, right, about whether those games are enjoyable.
I mean, I think they should be competitive football games, you know. I don't see us getting blown out by
Mississippi State or BYU. You think that should be competitive?
Well, if anything, I mean, I don't think we're getting blown out by BYU.
Sure.
It's either going to be competitive or we win big.
Or we win handedly.
Like maybe by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. You trust Phil Steele?
I guess.
What do you mean you guess? Like I'm asking, and once upon a time, I don't know about it anymore, but once upon a time you were a big college football nerd. Phil Steele, isn't he kind of one of the leaders of college football nerds?
He is.
Do you trust him or not?
Yeah, he puts a lot of work into what he does.
So you trust him?
I trust
him. It's okay to say you trust him. You don't have to be cool guy.
I trust him.
Cool Cody with the sunglasses on. I don't trust anybody but myself. DTA, like Stone Cold Steve Austin said.
I trust him more than I do anyone else who does those previews. I trust him more than Athlon or Lindy's
or anybody else. So he's a trustworthy guy.
He puts in a lot of work with
him. He released his point spreads for Tennessee's schedule.
He did.
You interested in those?
Yes, I am.
We'll talk about them next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Okay, so we are setting this up. Talking over-unders. Or win totals, I guess. Spreads. From Phil Steele, who you said you trust, correct?
Implicitly.
What does that mean?
I trust Phil Steele with my life.
Okay. That seems extreme to go from that just from, you know, he's okay type of thing.
He's a good friend.
Now he's a friend?
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed Phil Steele one time.
I did too.
Did you have to go through like his people?
Yeah. It was just one hurdle. Just one guy.
They like send us everyone emails like, hey, if you want to have Phil Steele on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does like
schedule a very specific time. Like I guess he just blows through like 30 interviews a day, I guess.
He does. He does a lot of radio hits to promote his magazine. He works hard at what he does. Got to give him that. So he has projected Tennessee's spreads.
Yeah, these are the spreads versus, you know, what I guess we've seen somewhat from Vegas. But
this is what he thinks they'll be at this point in the season that the games are?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't exactly have the context here other than these are the spreads he's projecting.
Very well.
Georgia State. Minus 24. The Vegas spread's 25. No real difference there.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you go in, you take care of business, home opener, whatever.
And you get out of there.
BYU. What would you set the number at versus BYU? Because I was shocked to see what Phil Steele set it at.
I'd have it at Tennessee minus 6.5.
6.5? Okay. I was thinking 7.5, 8.5 type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Over a touchdown. Like I feel like if Tennessee wins by a touchdown, that's kind of what it's supposed to do. If I'm BYU and I come in and lose by a touchdown, I think I'm okay with that. How do you think Tennessee fans would feel coming off of a touchdown win against BYU? Okay? Happy? Sad?
They beat Wisconsin last year.
They did beat Wisconsin last year.
We would probably look at it kind of like, we got a ways to go. But I think it, as long as we beat BYU, I think it'll be mostly positive coming out of that game.
Okay, so we're not.
It's a tricky game.
We're not in any position to be scoffing at wins. Like, don't right. get me wrong. Like, we are not.
Right. Yeah.
In position to do that.
I agree. I don't think we can scoff at a touchdown victory over BYU.
Okay.
But I'd have that spread somewhere between 6.5 and 9.5.
Okay. Probably. Yeah. I mean,
that's what it seems like it would be.
Okay. So how do you feel when I say BYU minus, or excuse me, Tennessee versus BYU? Tennessee is favored by 4 points, according to Phil Still, who you said you had, you know, who you said you trust
implicitly.
Implicitly.
It's a little lower than I would have said. I would have said that Neyland Stadium gives Tennessee an advantage of, you know, being 6.5 to 9.5. So basically he's saying that it's a 1.5 point spread on a neutral field.
Is that how that works in college football? I feel like that is, I feel like that's not even how it works in college football. Like, I know in the NFL the adage is that you get 3 points for home field advantage. I've always felt like that's bigger in college football, because home field advantages just mean more, right? Like, college kids are less likely to be able to go on the road and be good.
You think you get, like, closer to a touchdown at home?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know, maybe not the extra point, but, like, five points, maybe?
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, so BYU might even be favored by 0.5 point on a neutral field. Or it'd basically be a toss-up on a neutral field.
Yeah, like, that's the way I kind of look at it, because I think Tennessee would still be favored by 2.5 a field goal on a neutral field, like in my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we said the spread should be 7.5 up to 9.5 points, correct? So, I mean, you take 5 points away from that, Tennessee's still a favorite. Like, I don't know if Tennessee would be favored if they played at BYU this year, right?
No, BYU would be favored, I would think.
I don't think substantially, but I think BYU would probably be favored by 1.5 points if they played it at BYU. I wouldn't be shocked if it was all the way up to a field goal after, you know, what we saw from Tennessee last year.
So Tennessee comes in as a 4.5 point favorite.
4 point favorite.
4 point favorite.
Didn't even get the half.
I mean, what was our score against North Texas last year? It's like 14-0, right? That was probably the ugliest game we played.
I don't.
I mean, BYU.
Recall.
BYU is formidable. But you look at the games that we won last year. Was BYU better than that Kentucky team? I don't really think so.
I don't think that you can compare it to the Kentucky team from last year. I mean, that was so much late in the season depends on what happens prior to that, right? Like, Kentucky just got the hell beat out of them by a physical Georgia team. They had lost the East. They came into Knoxville. It happened. If we'd have played that Kentucky team in week 2 or week 3, I don't know what happens, right? Like, would we have felt – if we played – turn around and played Kentucky right after West Virginia beat our ass, would we have beaten Kentucky, in your opinion?
I think so.
Okay, maybe.
I don't think we lose to Kentucky.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I don't know how that game would have gone. I don't think it would have been 24-10.
Probably not. BYU – doesn't feel like a team that can come in and win in Neyland.
I mean, just based off name value, you would hope not.
It just doesn't seem like the kind of team that can.
Are any of us actually giving that credence? Like, are we saying, I haven't seen anyone really scared of BYU, and again, we preface this conversation by saying we can't really take any wins for granted. We don't get very many of them around here.
No, you can't take them for granted, and at least we're favored. But
To me, four
seems
glass
low.
Glass half full.
4 seems low from Phil. I'd be 2.5 more. I said 6.5. I stand by my 6.5. I think we're a touchdown better than BYU.
Okay.
So I'd say he's a little short on that.
Level of confidence in winning that game.
7.2 out of 10.
Mm. All right, what about out of 50?
Out of 50?
Yeah.
29.5.
Okay. All right. So that puts you where at a scale of 1 to 100?
Sixty-eight out of 100.
So you got 68% confidence that Tennessee beats BYU.
Right, but I'm at a 7.2 out of 10.
Sure.
So obviously, as the numbers go up, it goes down a little bit. You know, you got to factor in certain things, but I give it a 68 out of 100.
Okay.
That we beat
and BYU. A 7.2 out of 10.
I feel pretty confident. Yeah, somewhere between a D plus and a C minus that we beat BYU.
When taking this game into consideration, and look, it's the BYU game. It's Tennessee's biggest non-conference game. You know, when you're looking at the leap from 5-7 to 6-6 or whatever, right? Is it fair to say that if you really just come in and, like you said, win by a touchdown against BYU and you improve a game, is it fair to say that, like, you might not have improved at all, actually? Honestly, that maybe BYU just wasn't as good as West Virginia?
Well, it would be hard to know, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, just off the jump from me, like, if we're looking at the schedule, like, I know we've talked about 7-5, but, you know, 7-5 being the bare minimum or, you know, a sign of a begrudgingly accepted performance, like, to me, you're gifted 4. Last year, you really had to fight uphill for against West Virginia, right? I mean, you almost, I don't want to say had a scheduled loss because we had kind of talked ourselves into having a chance in that game, and Jeremy Pruitt and the staff thought they had a chance in that game, but sometimes it's just the schedule that's doing your bidding for you a little bit. Like, you're almost already have a game built in of improvement off the jump,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I mean,
versus last year's West Virginia team that was, were they top 10 in the country? Preseason last year?
Coming into the game?
Yeah, were they top 10 coming into the game? 20th?
I feel like coming into the 20th? Game, they were like 17th.
Okay. But a lot of people's dark horse in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Will Greer, Heisman, all that stuff.
I don't think we can judge a lot from the BYU game. You know, I mean, obviously you hope that you win that game, but this team won't be judged until they go to Florida. Even a significant win over BYU, even if you win that game by 3 touchdowns, I mean, we're going to look at it and we're going to be like, oh, great. You know, we look a lot better. This is good. Big-time win. But I still don't think we need to judge. We don't need to take too much out of that game, whether it's close or not close.
Okay.
We don't need to come out of BYU with our heads.
Basically, we don't need to. We just need to use that game to get a win, take care of business. If it's close, whatever, it's a win. If it's a blowout win, don't get too high on ourselves. Is that what you're saying? Now, do you feel that way about a loss? Because I feel like we should take a lot of that out of that if you come out of it with a loss.
Well, a loss will be discouraging, but then if you go down and win at Florida,
okay, so you're just being in general. Like
that. I mean,
you're just saying pretty much the BYU game doesn't tell us anything. It's going to be how you compete against the SEC.
Mainly, I'm saying if we win the BYU game and we look good doing it, let's keep our cups in.
Okay, just
let's
stay
not,
on the grindstone.
Yeah, let's not take our cup out just yet because you never know when Florida's going to kick you in the nuts.
We'll look at the rest of the games throughout the show today. Hour 1's in the book. We'll kick off hour 2 with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Founded in